Well, it's called Going Local, and it's basically a completely new direction, really, for the trust, or some would say a reversion to the trust's origins. It was founded, you know, well over 100 years ago now, by a woman called Octavia Hill, the National Trust, and the idea then was she was sort of a very kind of quite a radical kind of Christian socialist, and her idea was, you know, we've got to create what she called open air living rooms for the urban poor, basically. So it was very much about using land and countryside, people's enjoyment thereof. But what the trust feels it has become, and what a lot of people criticise it for, is kind of a sort of a middle-class, middle-aged playground, really. It's kind of cream teas and blue rinses and lovely gardens. And
it's a familiar accusation levelled at the National
Trust. It's a very familiar accusation. It's this whole kind of, you know, look, don't touch side of things. And people associate the National Trust now much more with the built properties than they do with the sort of the countryside and coast and what have you. And I think we're all familiar with that. You know, it's kind of identikit restaurants and gift shops that you know, that you can buy the same kind of products, National Trust products, in any house in the country. In fact, you could walk into almost any National Trust property in the country and feel that you were in any National Trust property anywhere in the country, really. And so Going Local is kind of an attempt to rectify that, really, and to really kind of engage with local communities and make, you know, local residents proud that they've got a National Trust property in their midst, and really allow them to use it. And they've got
How might that actually work in practice?
Well, they've got some quite radical ideas. I mean, the test bed for it all is this place called Seaton Delaval, which they bought or acquired very late last year, just before Christmas. It's a magnificent Vanbrugh villa, I suppose, 18th century, but they're supposed to be the finest example of English Baroque architecture in the country. And usually what the National Trust would have done in those kind of circumstances was, well, shut the whole thing up for 18 months or so, give it the full National Trust revamp, you know, install the tea rooms and the guest shop, and cordon off the collections behind kind of, you know, red silk cords and stuff like this. And instead what they're doing, basically, as one of the people there told me, is essentially it's going to become a kind of, you know, a gigantic village hall that just happens to have been designed by an 18th century master architect, you know. So there's going to be, you know, the catering isn't going to be in a standard National Trust restaurant. It's going to be by the woman who runs the fish and chip shop down the road. The local school kids are going to be taking over the walled garden and growing vegetables there. The primary school is putting on its plays and storytelling sessions and what have you in the cellars and in the stables. You know, the Cub Scouts are going to be camping in the grounds. And it really, you know, it's actually quite a radical departure for the trust.
And how is that going to go down with the sort of traditional wing of the National Trust?
Well, that I suppose is the $64,000 question. They're quite convinced. I mean, I've spoken to a lot of very enthusiastic National Trust people over the course of the past fortnight, also who say that the whole thing really has liberated them, and the idea of devolving responsibility down to kind of local property managers and really allowing them to kind of engage with local communities and allow them in and use them, you know, really as they see fit. They're really excited about it. But there are, without a doubt, you know, old school National Trust people who will find all this rather upsetting. I think, you know, what they're very careful to say is that they're going to, of course, they're not going to kind of trash the collections. I mean, they have priceless collections. And there will be stuff that people still won't be allowed to touch. But the kind of bottom line is, if there's something that you're not allowed to touch, then we will say clearly why, and we will show you something that you really can touch.